Hey, y'all, and welcome to another edition of the Beyond the Panels podcast. We are your hosts, Evan.
And I'm Andy.
And we are here to talk about all things nerdy. Now, this week, Maleficent came out on DVD, so we talked to Angelina Jolie herself. Interstellar also came out, so we were on the red carpet to talk to Matthew McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right, y'all.
Also, Lego Batman 3 came out this week, and when we were in New York Comic Con, we talked to Troy Baker, the voice of Batman himself, to get an insider scoop, and this is what he had to say.
It's a Batman game. It's just a Batman game. I don't think there's actually anybody else in it. I think it's just Batman, and it's pretty much just me. Only Batman. That's it. That's all you need.
Later on, we're going to find out the whole thing that he said about all the different characters. And finally, we also went to Stan Lee's Kamikaze here in Los Angeles.
Celebrating all things comic book and cosplay. We spoke to some cosplayers down there about their first time. We also spoke to Yaya Han, who is the queen of cosplay. And she had this to say.
We were considered the freakiest of the geeks.
And stick around because you're going to want to find out what she's talking about in that interview. And let's get right into it with this week's TV wrap-up.
TV wrap-up. Now let's start with my favorite, which is Gotham.
I love this show. It keeps getting better.
Gotham to me is more of a comic book based mystery crime drama and not so much like superheroes. Woohoo!
This weekend I was actually talking to some other journalists at a junket that I was attending. A lot of them were comic book fans, and you would be surprised because, again, everybody knows my stance on being very weird about how they're portraying some of the characters, but I was really surprised that these diehard comic fans, like DC comic book fans, tattoos on their arms of Flash, Batman, Wonder Woman, they were not bothered by the fact that they're taking a different direction with some of the characters.
Well, I know recently Robin Lord Taylor was asked about his portrayal of the Penguin, and he said, right now you're seeing only 10% of the Penguin that he's going to be. So he's going to go through a transformation at some point. But this week we saw Victor Zsasz, which was awesome. He only had like 25 little slashes on his arm, so he still has a lot more killing to do.
The actor really, really did a good job with this character.
Well, I mean, being able to transform yourself from the Mist in The Flash to being Victor Zsasz in Gotham.
Honestly, this isn't the first time somebody plays one superhero in one show and another superhero in another one. Just look at Aquaman from the very first pilot and turned out to be the Arrow from Smallville.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Even within the same show.
I know. So Aquaman, they had a pilot for Aquaman. It didn't do very well. It was all right, whatever. And then just shows back up one day as Oliver Queen in Smallville. So, hey, just because you die in one superhero show doesn't mean you can't come back as a better superhero in another one.
Well, Gotham's not even about the superheroes. It's about the villains. And we saw a new Penguin. He's more confident. He has his umbrella. And it turns out he's kind of playing everyone.
It was the umbrella that did it for me. As soon as I saw him walking in the umbrella, everything that I kind of had been bitching about over the last few weeks about him not looking like the Penguin, I was like, no, I see it.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together like a perfect little recipe.
Mmm, yummy. Now, Gotham has grown on me incredibly, and another show's really starting to grow on me too, and that is Constantine. This week is so much better than the 2 weeks prior.
From watching this past episode to watching the very first episodes, it's almost like they said, you know what, screw it. Fire the writers, bring new ones in. Even the writing is different.
Well, I just think that the first two episodes were based on character development and getting you to know who John Constantine is, getting to know who Zed is. And finally, now that we know these characters, we can get into the nitty gritty, really dark and violentness that is Constantine.
If you think about it, that really is the risk of coming up with a new TV show with a character that not a lot of people are familiar with. You have to spend so much time with the character development through the first few episodes that you really risk losing a big chunk of your audience. And I guess, yeah, it is a risk, but I'm very happy that it ended up where it is this past episode.
Well, this episode, we finally got to see some real action with the devil. People are selling their souls to try to save other people, and it's just all violent and fun.
At the very beginning of The Devil's Vinyl, you get a little bit more information, you find out a little bit more about the mystery surrounding the Well House.
Now, it's all so complicated, but my favorite part of this episode was Papa Midnight. His character is so good, and him and Constantine have this good back and forth, but he really is all about himself, and when he threw the voodoo doll in the fire, I was like, ooh, things are going to get good.
Like, his character intrigued me the most out of all the ones we've seen so far.
Now, we can't say anything about next week's episode, but we have seen it.
You have to tune in this Friday. It's called A Feast of Friends.
I'm going to watch it again.
It's worth watching again. If you weren't sure about Constantine, you have to tune into this week's episode because it will make you love this show.
It seals the deal.
Yeah.
Now, our only other superhero show was Arrow this week because The Flash and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. took a little break this week. But Arrow made up for all of the missing other shows because we're finally seeing Felicity's past.
This week's episode, I really wasn't bothered by the flashbacks, and it pushed the storyline along so quickly.
And you finally saw Felicity kind of acting like the badass that you want her to be. When she took the gun and just smacked the guy.
Her character is really coming into her own.
She's been trying so hard to be on the same level as Black Canary and Thea and everybody else, and now she's finally doing that.
I do have to say that about Black Canary, I loved the character. The one thing I didn't like about the actress that did it, she pursed her lips, kind of making the duck lips.
She did that in the beginning, but she kind of strayed away from that.
She got away from it a lot, but still, every time I looked at her, all I saw was her duck lips. Pursed like this.
Well, now we're going to get a new Black Canary, and she's training hard for it. And then that was my favorite scene, I think, in this episode, is where they're cutting between Ollie and Roy training and Thea and Malcolm training and Black Canary and Wildcat, and it's all rough and tough and fun.
The one thing that I can't wait to see is where Laurel takes the character of Black Canary, because think about it. The first Black Canary, she was a great fighter. She was a hard ass. She didn't let up, but she didn't lose anything. She hadn't lost anything. Laurel's character becomes Black Canary because she lost the most important thing to her, her little sister. And that will piss somebody off to no end. And I think she will be a better Black Canary.
Well, I think she's going to have to go through things because obviously she was an alcoholic and now she's replacing it with violence. So we'll see where that goes. But the one thing I'm really excited for is the crossover episode with The Flash next month. I can't wait.
Speaking of crossovers, we've seen a lot of crossovers over the last few weeks, especially in animation. We had The Simpsons and Family Guy.
That was hilarious.
It was such a good episode. And this past week, we also had The Simpsons and Futurama, which is off the air, but they decided to throw it in anyway.
I was so happy to see Bender again.
I love Futurama. It is such a great show. I was so upset when it was taken off the air.
I know, and it was good to see all these characters back again in a really funny storyline.
One of the things that they're very good about, like they did with Family Guy, where they brought it back, teased it here and there, it built up fan appeal again. So I would be willing to bet that this would be a way for them to build up a fan base again to maybe possibly bring it back to Fox.
I don't think so. I think they've put the nail on the coffin. I think they're done. I think it could come back in more crossovers, but I don't see them bringing Futurama back.
Well, one can only hope. So moving on to some of the other stuff we saw this past weekend, Walking Dead. So what'd you think about it?
So let's first talk about Beth.
I may be on my own on this one because I most often am.
You hate Beth.
I don't like Beth. She is a whiny little girl, and honestly, if there was a real zombie apocalypse, she would have been the first to go.
Now, I
think she would have been the first to go because whether she had gotten bitten or not, I think somebody may have pushed her in front of a zombie to get away.
I don't think she's the strongest character out there, but I do like that she's evolving and she's changing, and now that she's on her own, she is getting tougher and she's figuring out how to survive.
You would never survive. If that character was in the real world with the zombie apocalypse, she would never survive.
I liked the episode. I thought it was fun. But the thing that really bothered me was the fact that it left off on a cliffhanger and it wasn't addressed in the next episode. The same thing happened in the episode before where we saw Daryl walk out of the bushes, and you have an episode that's Daryl-less. And then you have an episode that finishes up with Carol rolling in on a gurney, and then the next episode is Carol-less.
If you remember all the other Walking Dead seasons, they've done this before.
And I hate it.
They've done this before, but the reason they do it is because the very last episode or the last two episodes, it's going to leave you with your jaw on the floor, because I would be willing to bet there's going to be a surprise death of one of the main characters, and it will just leave your jaw on the floor.
Well, I kind of pieced it together. Because this has been bothering me so much, these like individual episodes where they're focusing on one storyline and one storyline only, but I think I figured it out. In the episode before Beth, we saw the whole group kind of how they're surviving in the church. And then you had the other group leave. I believe that the Beth episode, the episode this week with the scientist, and next week's episode with Daryl and Carol, I think they're all happening at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they are.
So it's all going to come together and bam.
It's all going to come together and make sense at one integral moment, kind of wrapping up the storyline. But I just want to take everybody back for a second. And the first time, one of the very first times that we saw them do this was on the farm, where they had all these, like, these little independent storylines going, and you're like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? And then the very last episode was when the little girl comes staggering out of the barn as a zombie. She had been there the entire time, and they have to shoot her in the head.
That was a great moment.
That was a great moment, but every fan of The Walking Dead that I know of, that episode left them in tears. Hey, it was such an intense moment because you thought that she was actually still alive. She was still the innocence left in the show.
I just think that if there's no payoff, I'm going to be upset.
I think at this point they've come so far that there will be a payoff. And it's going to be a payoff that is going to leave a major cast member gone.
And what do you think of this week's episode?
This week's episode, I really didn't mind. This will be a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the most recent Walking Dead. So I'm just telling you that right now. I like this episode. It was slow, but you finally find out the mystery surrounding the military group that is trying to get to DC.
I totally saw this coming.
I didn't necessarily see it coming. I thought there was more to it. I honestly thought they were going to take it into a different direction, that he was actually going to die somehow, and that you would never know the cure, and they were just going to be left up in the air.
The thing that made me kind of see this coming was when he was talking about what he thought the cure was, fighting fire with fire. It was like, okay, you really think nobody else has ever thought of that?
Just so everybody knows who we're talking about Eugene. He was playing himself off to be a scientist on an important mission. Turns out that he's not a scientist. But there is something still wrong with him.
I think there's definitely something wrong with him.
There is something still wrong with him. We still don't know his backstory, but he got his ass handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
He got his ass handed to him by one of the characters in the show. So if you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. But yeah, he ends up face down, knocked out. So.
Although my favorite part of the episode is the little cameo by the White Walker.
Another crossover. I completely left that one out when we were discussing crossovers. When the White Walker randomly comes through the school bus window, you're like, wait a minute, how did that happen?
We're totally making that up, but the zombie does look like a White Walker. Check out our Instagram and see the pictures on it.
Yeah, I did a side-by-side comparison of the White Walker from Game of Thrones and the White Walker zombie from Walking Dead. Whoever's designing the zombies for this episode is definitely
a Game of Thrones fan. Well, that's all we have for this week's TV wrap-up. Now let's roll on in to our top five and nerdy news. We're going to start off with some cast rumors for the Suicide Squad movie. Now, there are three actors that are starting to look like they're going to play certain characters. There's Jared Leto, who's supposedly going to play the Joker.
I don't necessarily I can't see that, because I see Jared Leto as the long, stringy hair, really thin, kind of lanky guy. And the only character so far that I've seen that can compare to that is the Riddler from one of the animated versions of...
I hated that version of the Riddler. What was it, the Batman?
It was the animated version of the Riddler from the Batman.
I hated that.
He just had, like, long, stringy hair, kind of tall and lanky. Not what you normally expect the Riddler to look like.
Now, when are we going to get over the idea that actors have to look like the characters? We're already talking about this with Gotham and everything.
I'm not going to let that go. I'm never going to let it go, because I still do truly feel like there is some part that you have to hold on to something very important as far as the look of a character.
Well, my thought on that is get over it.
It's not going to happen. Never going to happen.
Well, look at Heath Ledger. He didn't look like the Joker when he got cast, and people were like, what? No, he's never going to work as the Joker. And he won an Academy Award for it.
Heath Ledger's Joker is the best Joker that they've ever had. Jack Nicholson was great, but Jack Nicholson was also very comic book and campy.
Well, it fit for the movie.
It did. It fit for the movie. I really think that whoever steps into any shoes of the Joker, whether it's Jared Leto or anyone else down the road, they're going to have some big shoes to fill. And I really think that fans are going to be so hard on them.
Well, a lot of fans are already saying that they like the idea of Jared Leto as the Joker.
If they do go with Jared Leto as the Joker, it will open the door for more of a, not necessarily a comic book version of the Joker, I think, but more of a, let's say, American Horror Story version of the Joker. They can make, I think that because of his look, the tall lankiness, think that will give them a little bit more of a window to make him a little bit more grotesque, make him a little bit more sinister.
I'm excited to see what they do if they do cast Jared Leto as the Joker. But we also have Margot Robbie, who's an Australian actress who you may know as one of the slutty girls in Wolf of Wall Street. She is said to be playing Harley Quinn.
And so far, everything that I've read about this decision, everyone loves.
Yeah.
Everyone loves it because everyone is saying that she looks so much like the character of what you would see as Harley Quinn that as far as her character decision or her character rumor, I've not seen anyone say anything bad about it.
I would care more, though, how she portrays the character and not so much that she looked like the character, because you're going to put makeup on her and because you're going to dye her hair and because she's going to have crazy costumes. I just hope that she can really bring out the crazy Harley Quinn, Mr. J, Puddin'.
That's a good question, though. That is a very good question, though. So if you could see Harley Quinn, and you know what? I would like to put this out to all of our fans. We're going to post this online as well. If you could see a portrayal of Harley Quinn, any of the versions that either been in the cartoons or in the comic books, which version would you like to see?
Interesting. Especially considering that this is a Suicide Squad movie and not a Batman movie or not a Justice League movie.
I would love to see Harley Quinn, because I love characters like this. I would love to see Harley Quinn be really psychotic, like a mentally broken psychopath where she's lost it. There's no coming back. You can trust her sometimes as long as she's having a good time. And even those having a good time moments count as if she's having a good time killing someone.
So she should be bipolar.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that would make sense with her hair.
No, I would love to see a really psychotic and sadistic Harley Quinn.
And now the last rumor that we have for casting is coming from Jon Bernthal, who you may remember as playing Shane on Walking Dead. And he is rumored to be playing Deadshot.
I can see that.
I can see it too.
I can see that. I loved his character in The Walking Dead. And it almost actually seems like most of the characters he plays that very military. It may be the way he carries himself as an actor, but he plays that very military assassin vibe.
Yeah.
He carries it well.
Now, we also have some really big news in the comic books. Marvel and DC have both announced major events, and they're kind of similar to each other. Now, we'll start with Marvel. Marvel announced Secret Wars, which they've done before, and the original Secret Wars was done to promote action figures.
Not surprising.
Now,
there have been so many times that that's happened.
Yeah. And so this time around, I'm thinking they're doing it to promote their movies, because we all know Infinity Wars is the next Avengers big movie. And so I think that this comic is trying to draw attention to all the different Marvel movies that are happening in Phase 3.
Well, I think that you have to have something, because this will also have something written out like a kind of like a storyboard, if you will. Because honestly, there are so many superhero movies coming out over the next, say, 5 years.
Yeah.
There are so many superhero movies coming out, whether it's DC or Marvel, that if you don't have something written down that can give somebody kind of a storyboard timeline of these characters and these movie themes, I think people are going to get really lost.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that this is a really good tool for people who may not know anything about the characters or movies coming up soon, so they can explore that all in one event. DC is also doing a multiverse event called Convergence, and it's essentially the same thing, except for Brainiac took all the old comic book worlds in the past, and he's put them all on a planet that's outside of space and time, and he's going to open them all up and see what happens.
Well, it goes back to what we were saying about crossovers. The big thing now is crossovers, whether it's in TV or film or cartoons or comic books, whatever it is. The big thing right now is crossovers. So I think that in addition to this comic book series being, you know, putting everybody onto one world and opening the doors and let them all coexist together and see what happens, I think that you're also going to see that they've already said you're going to see that in a lot of films.
And I'm excited for it. It's a cool concept. DC really hasn't done that. I mean, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths, which kind of brought everything together. But this is kind of their next big thing, which regardless of whether you like the new 52 or not, it's exploring old comics and it's putting everything in one place. And I think it's going to be interesting.
And I think it's a really good idea on their part, because if you remember from when they talked about the first Justice League movie, the rumor mill and everything, how that Justice League movie was going to stand alone, its own separate universe away from Batman. So that's how they were going to get away with casting different actors to play the same characters. So I think that now they're kind of wising up and saying, you know what, let's have crossovers. Because the movie may not be great. Like, the Wonder Woman movie may do really well, but it's not going to be a blockbuster like Superman and Batman's going to be. So let's have that ability to have these crossovers so you intertwine the fan base. So if I'm a Superman fan, if there's a Wonder Woman movie and somebody said, oh, it wasn't that great, I would still go see it just because I'm a Superman fan and they said that Superman shows up in there to save the day.
My only comment that you said that I'm going to completely disagree with is that Wonder Woman may not be a blockbuster movie, because that will be the biggest blockbuster movie, I think, out of the DC franchise.
Okay, that one was a bad example. Okay, let's say Green Lantern. Let's say Green Lantern.
Okay.
So they have a Green Lantern movie, and Superman or Batman or one of the other, you know, Wonder Woman, one of the other characters shows up to help Green Lantern save the day. I would go, just because I'm a Superman fan and a Batman fan and a Wonder Woman fan, even though I'm not a big Green Lantern fan, I would go just to watch it. So I think these crossovers are a really good idea, because it's going to do two things. It's going to enlarge the fan base of somebody that may not have been a fan before of, say, Green Lantern or Aquaman or whoever it may be. But it's also going to help save the film if it's not that great of a film.
Well, it's also just a smart idea in the comic book world in general, because you take everything that happened before and you put it all in one place and you see where the fans' interest is and you can run with that. So if the fans are liking the old universe, it can be the old universe that continues on. So we'll just see where it all goes from there. And other news out of Marvel is, we all remember the Age of Ultron leak trailer. Well, we thought it was a PR stunt. According to Marvel, not the case.
And they're pissed. Like, they're, like, really pissed.
Yeah, they went up to Google and they said, here's a subpoena. Give us all your information on where this trailer leaked from. So they're asking for this supposed leaker's full name, their address, their IP address, their mother's maiden name, whatever may be the case. They're dogging this guy down.
Well, it's a double-edged sword on this one, because think about it. If you're Marvel and you found somebody leaked a trailer and you want to find out who they are, it's kind of like going through your girlfriend or boyfriend's emails, that you only go through those emails if you think there's a problem. So if they were able to leak this trailer, either it was somebody from inside or it was somebody on the outside that managed to gain access to the inside. So either one, the hacker's really good and Marvel needs to update its firewalls. Two, it was an inside job and one or multiple people. Because I don't think they just have those trailers, things like that, laying around on a hard drive or a flash drive somewhere. Someone or a group of people had to be involved in getting this trailer out. So I think if you're going to go down that road, you need to be prepared for what you're going to find.
Well, and I think that's the whole case, because also this week, the scenes from Age of Ultron that were exclusive to the Guardians of the Galaxy DVD got leaked as well. So obviously Marvel has a problem and they're saying, we're going to deal with this. Don't mess with us.
And the one thing you don't want to do is get on Marvel's bad side.
Or Disney's.
Disney doesn't play, though. And since Disney is a part of Marvel, it's like the wrath of Asgard coming down on your ass.
Or the wrath of Mickey.
Oh, Mickey's even worse.
I trust the NSA more than I trust Disney. Now, our last little tidbit in nerdy news is, this week I'm super excited. I'm super Mario excited, because Mario Kart 8's first downloadable content expansion pack is coming out, and it's all based on Zelda.
I am not a Mario Kart fan. I love playing it, but I don't get excited the way you do about this.
Well,
you go crazy for this shit.
Well, it's fun, and I'm just excited for new cars, and I'm excited for new tracks, because I want my pink Yoshi to dominate on all of them.
Okay, do you realize what you just said?
I fully...
You want your pink Yoshi to dominate on all
okay,
of them.
Okay. Well, now that you say it, it does sound a little weird. But that's my character. I play as Pink Yoshi. And I drive around the little cat car. But now that new cars are coming out, I'm going to... Stop it! Now that new cars are coming out, I might have to switch over to some, like, F-Zero stuff.
Your pink Yoshi's driving around a Hello Kitty.
Not Hello Kitty. It's a cat car.
Oh, that's right, because Hello Kitty isn't a cat.
Yeah, Hello Kitty's a little girl.
That's
and
right.
If
Hello Kitty is a little girl, where the hell did she grow up?
Well, this week I have to just bring this up because we're talking about Hello Kitty, is they had Hello Kitty Con, and if you watched Ellen at all this week, I don't know who watches Ellen or not, but I do, and they just wreaked havoc all over the Hello Kitty Con, and I say go watch it.
Again, people go nuts for two things. Mario Kart.
Oh,
Mario Kart. No, you're not the only one. People go nuts over Mario Kart. There are lines, if you go to E3, and we'll cover this again when we're down at E3 this coming year, but every year that Mario Kart is there, they have lines of people. Like, people rush the doors to get to Nintendo to be first in line to be able to demo the new packs and new demo tracks for Mario Kart.
Mario Kart is just a fun game that you can play with everyone, whether it's in your house or on the interwebs or whatever it is. And if you're over 21, there's a fun drinking game to go along with it. We're not going to talk about that now because...
There's a fun drinking game to go along with anything if you want to make it.
Okay, but Mario Kart's better.
All right, well, no drinking and driving, kids. No drinking and driving.
Unless it's Mario Kart.
Unless it's Mario Kart. But yes, Mario Kart and Hello Kitty, people lose their shit over.
Okay, we need to stop this and move on to Maleficent.
And moving on to Maleficent, it finally came out this weekend on DVD.
Which I'm so excited for because I didn't see it in theaters.
It took forever for it to come out. It seemed like it was like a 6-7 month wait for it to come out on DVD. Even DirecTV on demand, you couldn't find it anywhere. If you didn't see it in theaters, it felt like a 7 month wait before you could even go on demand to get it.
Well, I'm excited that it's out because I still haven't seen it. So I'm going to go and see it as ASAP.
We sat down with Angelina Jolie. And I think it would be so easy to find someone to co-star with Angelina Jolie, don't you?
Well, yeah. Who doesn't want to work with Angelina Jolie?
Exactly.
Unless you look like Maleficent.
Apparently, because even Angelina and the production thought it was going to be a lot easier to find someone to co-star as her daughter, but apparently not.
So it was in the script that little Aurora would be there and that Maleficent would be very quite hard on her and say, I don't like children, and tell her to go away. And we realized that I met little kids on set and they cried. Little kids saw them. People would bring their kids to set, and then I'd see them, and then I scared them, because in person, I was very scary, I suppose, to them. So we realized that it was going to be very hard to cast it, and so by default, the only kid I knew that I could never scare is my daughter.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Angelina Jolie is the nicest woman.
Oh, she is.
She's one of the nicest women I've ever met. Although, when I walked into the room to actually stand face to face with her,
she's intimidating.
There was a moment when I first walked into the room where you had that moment of, oh my God, what do I say? Don't say anything stupid. Don't say anything stupid. Oh my God, just keep your mouth shut.
And it's crazy how intimidating she is considering how tiny she is.
I know. She was so tiny, but such a great interview. But even though she was scaring all these little kids and making them cry, they still had to find someone to play the kid.
You can't cut that out. It's kind of important.
It's a pretty important part of the movie. But interesting enough, Vivian wasn't the first choice for the movie.
Really?
Yeah. They also asked Shiloh, the other daughter,
mm-hmm.
but she had her own ideas of where the movie should go.
We joked about Shiloh being the older Aurora, and she thought it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. No, she would never even wear a dress. She wants to be somebody named Marcus. I said, Do you want to be an Aurora? You have any interest? And she said, no, I'll be Marcus. And I said, who's Marcus? She said, Marcus has horns and a bow and arrow. So I don't know who Marcus is, but in her mind, there's a whole other character named Marcus.
I'm actually kind of interested in that character. He sounds cool.
He sounds cool. And if you're going to just make up a character for a major movie like Maleficent, only Angelina Jolie's daughter can do it.
Hey, Marcus sounds like he would fit into that world perfectly. Now, I got the chance to be on the red carpet for Maleficent, and I was talking to all the celebs, and I wanted to know what they thought the next big Disney live-action film was going to be, because we already know they're in production for Cinderella, and they announced Beauty and the Beast would be the next one. Well, I talked to Sarah Hyland from Modern Family while I was on the carpet, and she kind of predicted it before it was even announced.
After Maleficent, Cinderella is coming out. What do you think should be the next Disney classic that gets brought to real life?
Can I just say how excited I am for Cinderella?
Oh yeah.
Richard Madden, amazing. And my friend Holiday Granger is in it. She plays one of the stepsisters.
That's so exciting.
So I'm so excited to see it. It's going to be amazing. I've actually have some inside information that it is amazing. And next one after that, I don't know, maybe like Beauty and the Beast or something.
So can we expect you to go for the role of Belle?
I'll try my hardest.
What we'd cast you as it?
What thing?
Now, who would play your beast?
I don't know. I'm not a casting director. I only think of myself.
I love her.
I think she would play a great Belle.
I do too. So maybe she predicted it before it even happened.
Or maybe she had the inside scoop and just kind of let the cat out of the bag.
I don't know, because they literally announced that Beauty and the Beast was going to be the next film a couple days later.
Yeah, it was like 2 days later. So maybe she has a little inside scoop on what's going on.
Well,
because isn't Modern Family a Disney property?
It is.
See?
Keeping it in the family.
Keeping it in the family.
In the Modern Family.
Ba-dum-bum.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
And moving on.
No, moving on. I'm so excited. I can't wait to purchase this game. It's Lego Batman 3.
Everybody loves a good Lego game. Everybody loves Batman. So.
See, the thing is, I'm not going to lie. I didn't play Lego Batman 1 or 2.
It was a really good game.
I didn't play them, but I'm excited for this one because it's huge. It's gigantic. It's the biggest game ever. No, I'm just kidding. It's not the biggest game ever, but they
exactly how big is it? How big?
150 characters deep, yo.
That's deep.
That's mad deep. So when we were in New York, I got to talk to Arthur Parsons, who is developing the game, and I wanted to know what it is like taking these really awesome, fun characters and turning them into fun little tiny Legos. And this is what he said.
You get the pleasure of taking everyone's favorite superheroes and making them Legos. Are they more fun as Legos?
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah. I can't think of anything that isn't more fun when it's made out of Lego. It's no matter what the character is, no matter how serious the character is as well, sometimes a character in Lego form, yeah, the new 52 Frankenstein in Lego form, I was like, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Lego makes everything fun. Lego makes running around as Deadshot shooting people fun. You know, this is, yeah, I just love it. I love what I do.
I wonder at the game, though, because he talks about how much fun Legos are and things like that, and running around as Deadshot has to be awesome as a Lego. What happens when Lego Deadshot steps on one of those damn clear Legos? Have you ever stepped on one of those?
Yeah, but we have human feet. They have Lego feet. They would just stick. They'd be like, ah, damn.
Still has to be a pain in the ass.
Damn Lego stuck in my toes.
Yeah, I love Legos. I played with them as a kid. But the worst Lego invention is the damn clear Lego block. They have to be a different color because you miss them on the floor, you step on them, and it feels like a nail has just shot into the bottom of your foot.
Okay, so
just putting that out there, not that I have any scars from a child, but I'm just saying.
Okay, well, while you are lamenting on that, we will move on. And I also had to ask him, because there's over 150 playable characters in Lego Batman 3, I wanted to know what obscure characters he was excited to see in the game.
There's so many obscure characters, whether it's Abner Krill as Polka Dot Man, whether it's Music Meister, whether it's one we just announced on the panel, Condiment King, Bat-Cow, you know, I'm a personal fan of crazy, weird characters, and I love to get them in. Green Lantern's the same. There's just so many. Because there's over 150, we're bound to put in some of the wild and wacky ones.
Those are always my favorite characters, the kind of weird ones that you probably didn't know about until you played this game.
Yeah, because playing as a regular character, everybody knows the moves, everybody knows what they do, but playing as those kind of obscure characters, it mixes it up a little bit. Sometimes it makes it feel like you're playing a brand new game.
Like, what can you expect by playing as Bat-Cow?
Shoot batarangs out of your udders.
That would be disturbing.
But funny.
Now, the other person I got to talk to, and I was really excited about this, was Troy Baker. Now, you may know Troy Baker from other Lego Batman games where he played Batman, but he also has been the voice of the Joker.
Yeah, we actually talked to him down at San Diego Comic-Con for Assault on Arkham. He's such a fun guy.
And I can't believe that you can voice both Batman and the Joker. They're so different characters, and yet he does both so well. I asked him the same question about the obscure characters because I'm kind of obsessed with the idea that there are so many characters in this game.
It's not so much a Batman game, it is focused on Batman, but it's a DC Universe game. Who are some of the more like obscure characters and non-mainstream ones that you're excited to see in this game?
It's a Batman game. It's just a Batman game. I don't think there's actually anybody else in it. I think it's just Batman, and it's pretty much just me. Only Batman. That's it. That's all you need. I love Man-Bat. I think that Man-Bat is great. You've seen Detective Chimp was fantastic. And the one that I freaked out that I found out we were doing was with this Duck Dodgers Green Lantern, which huge Warner Brothers, you know, old cartoon fan. So being able to see Duck Dodgers in our game was a cool little cherry on the top for me.
Bam, crossovers.
It's all about the crossover.
Hey, if it works, don't knock it.
You know what? It works, and it also makes a pretty damn good game.
I'm excited for it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play it, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. I'm super excited for Interstellar. I haven't seen it yet. It's in theaters, and I know Big Hero 6 technically did better, but more people can see Big Hero 6.
More people can see Big Hero 6. It's a kids' movie. I'm really looking forward to seeing Interstellar. I haven't seen it either, but it looks visually, it looks amazing.
And I got to talk to the producers and the stars of the movie because I was at the red carpet, and I couldn't stop thinking about how I hate the idea of going into space.
You hate it. I love the idea.
It's terrifying.
I think that it would be the most amazing event of your lifetime.
And I'm going to say no.
To go to space, to go to the deep ocean, to be able to see something that no one or very few people have ever had a chance to see or will ever see. That's a moment you can't pass up.
So this is what the producers, Jonathan Nolan and Linda Obst, had to say when I asked them.
The idea of traveling into space terrifies me. If you were given the opportunity, would you travel into space?
Well, if you'd asked me 8 years ago when I first started working on the project, I probably would have said yes.
Yeah.
But I've got a little girl now, so the answer is I probably wouldn't be allowed.
Absolutely.
What's so rewarding about it?
Discovery, search, finding out stuff there's no other way to get the answers to. But it's really interesting because we did a workshop with a whole bunch of scientists, and we asked them how many of them would go into space if they knew they might never come back. And every single one of them said they would.
Wow.
But you ask the same thing to a group of non-scientists, and no one raises their hand. Isn't that interesting?
I wouldn't do it, and I guess I'm in the majority.
You know what? I am a man of science, so I, hands down, would be the first in line.
Well, you have fun when you experience Sandra Bullock's gravity experience.
And you could walk out the door and get hit by a bus.
Okay, I'd rather be hit by a bus tomorrow than to float through space for torturous amounts of time.
To each his own. I am a more adventurous, outgoing, experienced life, bada balls type of guy.
Okay, well, you have fun, bada balls. Well, I talked to the stars, and they also had mixed reviews. You would think that they'd all be on the same page, considering they're all in the same movie. But Timothy Chalamet, Mackenzie Foy, who you may remember from the Twilight saga, Jessica Chastain, and Matthew McConaughey all gave me their opinion.
Ooh.
So I just maintained that weight, yeah.
If it was like one of those things where I get to go to the moon, like I think they're starting to do that, I think I maybe would be down. There'd be a lot of anxiety involved, though.
Yes. Yeah. I would definitely. Haven't you always kind of like thought, like, what is it really like outside of our planet? Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
I always imagine my trip ending up like Gravity.
No. I like this Earth.
It's not that easy of a question to answer. And I've got family, and I don't want to be the guinea pig, and I'd have to see how long it'd be gone, and could I take him with me, and da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right.
Yeah, so no space for me. Don't sign me up.
But the thing that I was surprised about is, as zen and out there as Matthew McConaughey is, I actually would have expected him to be the first on board to take a trip into space.
Well, he has a family now, and that's not that easy of a decision.
Bring him along!
Well, he just said he doesn't know if he can bring him along, so we'll have to find out.
Although, when I did first hear that clip, the first thing I heard is when he said guinea pig, I was like, an adult man has a guinea pig as a pet? That's weird.
He doesn't want to be a guinea pig.
He doesn't want to be a guinea pig. Not he has a guinea pig, because guinea pigs are weird.
So
random, sorry.
And if you've seen one completely without its fur, it looks like a mini hippo. Did you know that?
What?
Look it up. I swear. Look it up. Hairless guinea pig, it looks like a hippo.
All right.
We're a little off topic.
Yeah, a little off topic. But again, the theme for the day, the phrase of the day is, and moving on to Kamikaze.
Woohoo!
Woo! We hit up Stan Lee's Kamikaze when it was downtown here in Los Angeles. And the first thing we wanted to do was talk to a bunch of cosplayers, because the whole convention is all about comic books and cosplay. So we hit up Stan Lee's Kamikaze, and we talked to a bunch of the cosplayers, because everybody remembers their first time. Right? Everybody remembers their first.
I'm going to avoid that like the plague.
Well, I wanted to find out from the cosplayers of Stan Lee's Kamikaze what their first time was.
So what got you into cosplay?
I mainly dress as the Punisher, and I would always get hassled because of the weapons being so accurate. So I decided one day I was going to make balloon weapons. So I decided to show up as cosplay Balloonisher, and then nobody gave me a hassle. And I just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to create more costumes out of balloons.
So what happens if you're walking around all of a sudden things just start to pop?
I abandon. Abandon ship.
Just drop and run as fast as you can.
You know what? I'm done. I'll go get another costume.
What took you from going to your first cosplay to be like, I want to do this all the time?
I wanted to go to more cons in general, and just going in cosplay made it kind of enhanced it. And then when I went online and it became more of a craft, like who can look like the character? Like, I thought, like, this is even cooler, because like, what if I can get really good, or I can like meet people and like commission people, and I can like do my best to really try to look like a character I love. And that's what really got me, because I really enjoyed portraying characters that I adored.
I love comics. I love Stan Lee, I love Marvel. I also love DC, whoops. But Rogue's my favorite X-Men, so that's why I chose her today.
So do you make your own costumes and everything?
This is a little bit of like found online and pieced together. I'm not too great with the sewing and everything, but I'm taking some classes and I'm gonna start making my own.
I've always liked dressing up. So as a kid, I always wanted to dress up as Spider-Man or Power Rangers. And so I just said, heck, why not? You know, I went for it, and I bought a cheap Spider-Man costume, and then I started building from there.
I have to say, they all looked amazing.
They did, but I'm not too sure why the girl was sorry about being a DC fan.
What's wrong with DC, yo?
No, she felt bad because she felt like she was betraying her one true love, Marvel.
Oh, everybody does remember their first one true love. But the coolest costume was the first guy we talked to, because if you couldn't, you may not have been able to hear it in the audio grab, but there were the little popping sounds. It's because he was dressed up as Balloon Voltron.
Balloontron.
He made an entire costume of Voltron with all the five lions. The entire costume was made of balloons.
Go to our Instagram at Beyond the Panels, because you have to see it. You absolutely have to see it.
And when he was talking about what happens when you bail, I just got visions of him like tripping and falling, and part of the costume just hanging there dangling, and then him just taking off running naked.
Oh,
like
my.
That's what I just got in my head. Yeah. Oh my is right. Well, after we talked to all the cosplayers, I wanted to hit up the main floor because we wanted to go talk to the queen of cosplay herself.
Bow down.
Bow down to Yaya. Yaya Han, of course, is who we are talking about. And we wanted to talk to her about how it all started for her.
How did all this start for you?
I got into it 15 years ago when I was a broke kid with no skills in sewing or crafting. And I was just a fan. And, you know, it just sort of happened that I stuck with it. Unlike a lot of cosplayers of my generation, I was always active and I kept, I don't know, sticking and making more stuff. And over the years, cosplay has sort of blown up to this industry, and somehow I'm still in it, you know? So it's kind of wild.
Now, it kind of amazes me that cosplay has grown into this incredible thing where not only is it fun, you get to connect with people that you may not ever meet outside of cosplay, but you can even make money on it now.
Yeah, it's become an entire industry. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to with Yaya, because she successfully created what you could call an empire for cosplay.
That's what it is.
And I really wanted to find out if she went into this thinking that she could actually eventually make money off of it.
I never got into it wanting to make money, because when I started cosplaying, it was impossible to make money with cosplay. We were considered the freakiest of the geeks. We were really shunned, and you know, cosplayers were considered literally like the most fanatical of fans. And so it's absolutely not even the realms of possibility to ever make money with cosplay. Like, you couldn't even buy costumes. There were no companies selling costumes of comic book characters or video game characters. If you wanted to have a costume, you had to make it. So I was forced to start making stuff from the very beginning, and I think that's why I, you know, have been able to stick with it, because it's like, that's what I love the most, is crafting.
And boy, does she do that well.
She does, and she does it very well. And do you know how many conventions have popped up?
I don't. There's too many.
Well, I'm just going to give you a little snippet of the things that have been going on in convention news over the last 2 weeks. So we had Stanley's Kamikaze.
Fun.
We had Hello Kitty Con.
Fun.
We had Bent Con, the gay comic book convention. We had Fairy Con, the convention for...
That's not the gay one.
No, that's not the gay one. Bent Con is the gay one. But Fairy Con for...
Fairies.
Fairies. If you want to dress up like a fairy of all sorts, you can go to Fairy Con. They also had, and get this, people, I am not lying about this, it's called Walker Stalker Con. It is a con for zombies.
I just imagine everyone just dressed up as zombies. Nobody communicates, and they all just bump into each other.
And, But since all these cons have popped up, she travels around the globe as the celebrity judge for these conventions, where these convention goers will dress up in these elaborate costumes. And there are rules to this. And some people, if you talk to different people, you get different stories. But I wanted to talk to Yaya and get the official word of the rules of cosplay.
I want to always say that there are no rules to cosplay. It is an art form and it's a fan expression. So I don't believe that there should be any rules. However, as cosplay is becoming more mainstream, like anything, it tends to become a little bit complicated, because there are no rules, so people can do whatever they want and call it cosplay. So what I like to say is you have to find your
own way of cosplaying. And so whether it's, you know, making stuff and, you know, being craftsmanship oriented, that's your way of cosplaying, or whether you just want to buy a costume and just dress up for fun, that is your way of cosplaying.
So she kind of just shut you down.
I know. What I thought there were, like, dead set hard rules on cosplay, like you had to make your own costume. If you didn't make it, you had to actually make 50% of it, whatever it was. I've heard so many different stories. Basically, she said, whatever you want to do, have fun. As long as you're as long as you embrace the spirit of cosplay, that's all you need to do.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Oh, that's so zen.
I love that.
I know. No judgment. Cosplay has no judgment. Although, if you do a shitty job with your costume, people will talk shit about you, people will take pictures of you, and people will post them on the internet to have everyone else talk shit about you.
If I wanted to do cosplay, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, that's the thing. All you have to do is, if you have an idea, like with Robin or for The Flash, it just has to be either an original idea, or you can just go to the store and pick up what looks like part of the costume and make it yourself.
Now, what is Yaya's advice for somebody who really wants to get into cosplay? Because I would love to.
Well, she did have some very good advice. And you might be surprised about what she has to say.
Do it for 15 years? No, that's a horrible advice. I always say I'm the worst person to ask for advice on how to become successful business-wise in cosplay, only because I did sort of crawl and take like the snail speed route. I did not get into this with the mindset of making money, whereas now cosplayers can get into cosplay with the goal of making a living with it, which I think is great. I think it's great that it's become a environment where it's possible to do this for a living. However, no matter what, the advice I give cosplayers is, if you want to do a business in cosplay, then you have to, be prepared to work really hard, have no days off, and you need to find your niche. You need to find a product or a service that you can offer that other people can't, and you can't expect people to just, you know, throw money at you or throw opportunities at you if you're not willing to get down and dirty. So that's what I have learned, is, you know, be hands-on, and most of all, find something that you love to do for yourself, because I think that's the most important part. As an art form, if you don't genuinely love what you do, you'll burn out and you won't be able to continue after a while.
Well, there you have it. The queen has spoken.
The queen has spoken. And like she said, she's been in this for 15 years. To stand beside her in the costumes, especially the costume that she was in, where knowing that she handmade all of it, it's just mind-blowing the time that it takes.
It doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't. And I was joking with one of the cosplayers that we had talked to about how they should start making a rule of, if you're going to talk about how you made your costume, to use reference of, how many TV shows did I watch on Netflix? Because one of the girls, she said she made it through a season, an entire season of Breaking Bad, making one costume.
Now, if you want to catch more of Yaya Han, you have to see her show on the Sci-Fi Network called Heroes of Cosplay. It's a blast.
Yeah, and again, the level that these cosplayers take their costuming is mind-blowing.
And that's all we have for this week, but we have plenty coming up next week. I will speak to the cast of Dumb and Dumber 2, and I also have a little tidbit that I got from one of the developers at E3 for Dragon Age Inquisition. And Andy, you have a little something special coming up.
Yeah, this week I'm going to head down to a special Halo event where we're going to be talking to some of the voice cast from the video game, and I'll even bring you a sneak peek of what you're going to expect from the new Halo video game.
Since next week is such a video game jam-packed show, why don't you go over to Twitter or to Instagram and reach out to us and let us know what you remember being your very first video game. Do you remember yours?
I do. I spent a lot of time in front of that video game console. I'll tell you all about it next week.
Ooh, I can't wait.
All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
See ya. We'll be right back.